Hello and welcome back to another episode of Incense Podcast. After about a month, the gang is finally back together. And in that gang is the man who's created a new Pokemon called Brexit. It's Pogo Milo UK. The man who doesn't believe the results of Mark's poll is Ian Waterfall. And the man who's apparently now the new Peridot ambassador is Masterful 27. And finally me, Casual Coops, who did not catch the regional from my holiday to Greece. I'm so sorry,
boys. Oh, my God.
Are you fuming with me?
I added you on the group.
I know. Let the listeners know, I didn't actually realise that you can literally only get it from like Greece and Cyprus. I had no idea it was that
Yeah,
rare.
And Egypt, man.
Actually, did you not read your messages? Because we did message you last week.
Yeah, but
week.
I'm on holiday with them. What am I going to do? Creep off and be like, oh, just going to hunt, what's it called? A sigilyph?
Sigilyph. It would have shown us a shadow for you.
Excuse my terminology, Coops. You'll grow a pair and say, actually, I'm over here. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I'm going to get a shadow. And because I haven't caught one yet, it'll be very quick and very easy. So let a man do what he's got to do.
Seriously, you asked Totten to show that you are whipped. Seriously,
I'm
man.
I'm now a whipped casual.
Whipped casual.
Fondant.
But apart from that, are we all good? By the way, really enjoyed last week. That's the second or third time I've listened to an episode without me, and I much prefer me not being here, I'll be honest.
Side of things
easy
to come.
Easy regular occurrence.
Side of things to come.
Wink, nudge, nudge. But no, great job. And but anyway, boys, jokes aside, how is everyone? We all good?
All good, mate. Very good to have you back. Genuinely.
It's good to have you back.
It's
yes.
been like 24 hours, right?
You know what? It feels like deja vu, doesn't it? It feels like we've done this before almost.
No.
Boys, you are completely right. And I will just say this now, ladies and gents, boys and girls, to all the listeners. Us four lads were really, really, really fortunate that we do actually feature on GoCast, a Pokemon Go podcast this week. So please, when this episode's out and you're listening, please go over to GoCast. They're an amazing podcast. Chris and Carl, they're amazing lads. They came on our show, what, about 2 months ago?
It was about six, yeah, 7 months ago.
Yeah, it was a great episode. So go back to listen to that. And we were lucky enough for them to have us as guests on their show. So please, when this is released, go check them out as well. Yeah, we hope you enjoy. And obviously, make sure you give them a 1-star review on Spotify.
And also, if you're here from GoCast, if they've sent you over, yeah, welcome.
Absolutely. Cheers. Thanks a lot.
Of course. I forgot. Yeah, no, I'm only joking. Do not give us 1-star to get back at me. No, don't. It's all love here. It's all love, Chris. I love you. I didn't mean it. But no, boys.
We love you, Kyle. Just really yeah, fans yeah, out.
And as well.
The whipped casual.
Oh, musical theatre.
Musical theatre friends.
You notice how Chris distanced himself from Coops when he said that. The listeners will hear that if
yeah,
they check
like,
it out.
Steady on sunshine.
He loves me really. But anyway, gents, it is now time to
pop your incense as champions. Let's go.
And of course, the same protocol as always. If you manage to get anything incredible, e.g. a hundo, even a shiny whilst listening back to this episode, then please do tag us on our social medias. The main one is Twitter, and all of our handles for everything is just going to be at Incense Podcast. And do not forget to hashtag shinies of the week. And
we need to spelling,
please.
Of course, you cut me off and use GoCast. I love you too, Ian.
You know it's done with love, man.
Yeah, no, I know. But yeah, if you do manage to get anything amazing whilst listening back to this episode, please do tag us, as I said. Use the hashtag Shinies of the Week, which is hashtag #SHINIESOFTHEWEEK. So then in that way, we can search and find you very easily. And then we can read you out at the end of the show on my favourite segment, Shinies of the Week. Now, lads, moving it on.
And now, children, it's time for Getting to Know You with the Incensed Podcast.
Snakes have really been the highlight of the polls recently. There's been a lot of animal talk.
Snakes and poles. This is interesting.
Yeah. A lot of
away.
A lot of anacondas, and I'm not just talking about marks. So here's the thing, right? I thought to myself,
Mark's anaconda, don't.
Let's for one more week. Now I'm back after listening to your funny question last week. I thought I'm gonna have one more question about animals. So boys, your getting to know you question tonight is going to be, have you ever had a near-death experience that involved animals? Now, when I say near-death experience, it can be sort of, doesn't have to be that, it can be sort of anything dramatic, anything bad that happened, can involve being bitten, being chased by an animal, trying to save one, then it's backfired. Maybe you were stroking one or feeding one and it's tried to attack you. And first up, Ian Waterfall, please.
You're going to hate this answer. No, I haven't. I don't know where to go with this question. Never had a near-death experience with an animal.
Has Matt pet you?
Nothing's ever bit you? Yeah, is any of your
that's
birds?
That's not near-death, is it? That's
no, no.
Near-death.
Okay, bad experience. Bad experience with an animal. Bad experience.
No.
Ian is actually Dr. Doolittle.
David Attenborough waterfall.
Seriously, no.
It's a good job we're not doing a poll for this tonight, isn't it?
It is. You've caught me. I can't even do a Coop's answer.
Wait, so 119 episodes, and I've got you.
Yeah, yeah, and you've stumped me. I've genuinely never had a near-death experience or a bad experience with an animal.
That's fine. I don't want your brain to explode, Mark. What about you?
It's like scanners.
This isn't my favourite question, Coops, I'm going to say. This is probably my least favourite question yet.
Listen, if no one has an answer, I'll just tell my story and then we'll move on. Should we just do that?
Let's do the rounds and we'll get to you.
I'm only messing.
Let us all say no first.
I've not had a near-death experience with any animals. Our cats have regularly scratched the hell out of my arm and in their show of affection, drawn blood. Love cats. Beautiful. She has me on tenterhooks all the time.
Always watching. Always listening.
Just jumps at your face.
Wait, ain't that her in the corner of the webcam?
Yeah, possibly. You'll see a paw go like this. But I do recall one experience I had which made me feel slightly uncomfortable because it was a situation that I found myself in and didn't really appreciate how to deal with it. So cue the beeps. When I was in Adelaide...
if there's a place to have a bad experience with an animal, it's Australia.
It's going
to
be Australia, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny because mine is as well.
Everything including a bush will kill you.
Everything in Australia will kill you.
Exactly. And I don't think I've ever spoken about my time in Adelaide because I was there for probably the shortest period of where I landed. You get ready, Coops, because yours are going to be beep. Beep. But I remember staying on my friend's farm and I've been there a couple of days. We went out and had a walk around the farmland basically because it took me a while to get used to the time difference of the travel. I'd gone from like winter time here to 40 degrees and lightning firestorms, so it was quite a contrast in 36 hours. But I do recall encountering a brown snake. They are venomous. If it makes you feel slightly less concerned, they have shorter fangs than most snakes out there. It didn't really help me at the time. And they did have a kit that you...
Antidote
kit there, just in case it wants to bite. It kind of chased us down this sort of farm path. It was just very unnerving, not really knowing how it was going to play out. So that was probably the most dangerous experience I've had with one of nature's beautiful creatures, the snake. It always comes back to snake, Ian, doesn't it?
Three weeks in a row.
Last 3 weeks, snakes. Well, snakes won last week for me.
Yeah, okay. But you still didn't have an answer for tonight, Milo. What
it's the most random question. It is a very not random question. Not everyone's had a near-death experience with an animal.
So I'm going to have to say not a near-death experience by any stretch of the imagination, but worst experience or case with an animal. We're going from Mark being chased and hounded by a venomous snake to me reacting very badly to a horse fly bite. Some things trigger me allergy wise very badly, and I was actually out in the heat of summer, I think it was 2018, reading somehow. Yeah,
of course.
And yes, had the slides on. Feet were there and ready for the...
I think it'd have been more of a surprise if you said you were just going yes. for a walk.
Yeah. Well, there's no such thing as just going for a walk with me unless there's no phone service. It's always... There's Pokemon Go involved. But I got bitten on the foot by a horsefly. And if you don't know, horseflies have unusual fly jaws. They're basically like two giant scissor blades. They're very bad at transferring diseases. You know, mosquito obviously injects, sucks the blood out. This thing just slices a huge wound open on your foot, which can easily get infected, and they carry all kinds of horrible things.
Wow.
That's what happened to my foot. I had to have serious course of antibiotics, etc., and I couldn't walk, I think, for 2 weeks on the back of it.
You couldn't raid for 2 weeks.
Yes, and there weren't remote raids back then, so
that was
annoying.
I hope it wasn't Mewtwo.
I don't remember what it was. It was probably 2018. Oh, 2018 was the Regis, so I was perfectly fine with that.
Okay, fair.
It was like the Regis without a shiny, so it wasn't the worst thing, but that's my worst case scenario. Come on, Coops, what is your epic story?
Yes. Here we go. Throughout my 5 years in Australia and New Zealand, I do have a few stories, but Mark and Milo, thank you for taking part. Pretty appreciate it. So my story, there's an island in the South Pacific area. Beep, 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 beep. It's called Lifou. So L-I-F-O-U, if you ever want to go. I think it's in New Caledonia, I think, off the top of my head. Anyway, people would say to me before, Coops, when you get to this island, it is like renowned for turtles. Like you have to get in the water. And up to that point of my time in Australia, I hadn't seen like a wild one. I've gone to like sanctuaries and zoos and I'd seen a bunch of turtles, but I'd never actually been in the wild, you know, swimming with one, you know, amazing. So anyway, get the flippers on, get the, you'd be proud of me. Fins. Ian. Oh yeah, no, it wasn't. Sorry, it wasn't scuba diving. It was only snorkeling. You still proud though?
Still fins. But yeah, but I'm proud. Yeah.
And I'm not proud.
But I will correct you on terminology.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Don't say goggles either.
Okay. So, what is it? What is it?
Mask.
Mask. So I had mask and fins on. Is that? Can I get a ding? As soon as I go underwater, there's this huge turtle right, and I was like, you know when like it takes your breath away, and I was like, there is no freaking way. The second that I'm immediately start swimming. This turtle's massive, it's absolutely beautiful. I'm literally about a meter away. I've got like trying to get the GoPro out while following it. All of a sudden it sort of goes one way, but then another one comes, and I'm like, wait, I'm like, this is crazy. So not only have I seen one turtle, I've seen another. I'm following this second turtle out, and it's just, oh my god, it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And all of a sudden, you know in Finding Nemo, you know when you get like past the coral and it like drops into like the actual,
yes,
Ian, you'll help me out, like, was it just
ocean,
just
yeah,
in the,
yeah,
okay, the
correct terminology,
the reef drops away, yes.
So yeah. I didn't know if there was sort of a sea terminology.
It's the drop off.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a wall.
Literally, this is no joke. I was following this turtle and all of a sudden it went from light blue, all this coral, to like black. And all of a sudden my heart was like in my mouth and I was like, oh my God. And literally I put my head up and I am genuinely so close to the cruise ship that I was working for. Oof. And I was like, oh my God. And all of a sudden the waves.
Tom was there,
was
he?
Who? What?
He said, all of a sudden I was close to the cruise ship. And I went, that's Tom there. Sorry.
He was there swimming too.
Tom was snorkeling as well.
So, yeah, so it was me and Tom. No, so anyway, I'm like panicking, like to the point where like, I'm like shaking. Because first of all, I think I'm going to get yammed up by a shark, right? So I've got that going for me. Next, I'm thinking, oh my God, this current is so strong. I'm actually about to die. Like I'm recording myself dying and I'm breathing and literally the current is so strong. It literally went from not being strong to like, it was mental. I literally had to physically like just lay there with my eyes closed for like 2-3 minutes and calm myself down because I'm like hyperventilating because I couldn't even, I felt so weak. I couldn't even like use my arms. I just slowly be really clever when the current was brushing me towards the reef, paddle my feet. And I swear to God, it took like another, it probably felt like 5 minutes. So it was probably like another 1 or 2 minutes, but in that situation, and I finally got onto the reef and literally just like swam for my life, like another 30, 40 meters to get back to sort of, so I knew I wasn't going to get taken back into the ocean off the drop off. But boys, genuinely nearly died. No joke, no cap. It's a true story.
Did the turtle survive?
It's a natural water type.
Yeah, I used the master ball on it. But yeah, so that's kind of why I thought about this question, because this story will always stick on me. And if you ask nicely, I've actually genuinely got the GoPro footage. We can maybe post it to our Twitter so I can show people me literally hyperventilating in the middle of the ocean.
That'd be quite funny, actually.
It would be.
So Coop suffering. Hilarious.
Do you know it's not funny, Ian?
What's not funny?
You not having an answer for the question tonight.
I've got stories about diving, but none of them were animal related.
Well, on that note,
it's the news. Lovely to hear Nick's voice. So, boys, I've got some STDs to dish out. I hope you don't mind. So, the season of Rising Heroes is coming to an end, thankfully. The next season, we don't know what's going to be going on. Hopefully next week we'll be able to tell you. But we've got some dates for the following community days, June, July and August, as well as a few extra. So we'll just rattle them off very quickly. Put these in your calendar. Saturday, June the 10th of 2023 will be June's community day.
Thank you.
Very likely.
I don't
Sunday,
think so.
Unfortunately, July the 9th will be the community day classic for the season. Sunday, July the 30th, so right at the end of July, will be the main community day for that month. And then Sunday, August the 13th, will be August community day.
Which is smack bang between Japanese and UK GoFest and the American GoFest.
Yes, it's in the GoFest IRL sandwich, but it's also over the Yokohama Worlds thing that's going on. And typically, I think, isn't the Pokemon Go stuff usually done on the Sunday? I hope it's not.
The finals were on the Sunday last time.
I hope they don't stuff all of the people, because otherwise there'll be quite a few people irritated, I imagine. But community days aren't the only dates on the horizon. There are additional in-game events coming for the next season. So Saturday, June the 3rd is noted. Saturday, July the 22nd. And, of course, the Global Go Fest, August the 26th and 7th. That is it. So,
Bish, bosh, bash.
I don't know if it's worth talking about anything to do with that or whether we just move on swiftly.
A lot of Sundays there, aren't there?
Yes. Okay, let's go with that. So I know that we've discussed it in the past, but what do we think? Sundays choice?
Sundays aren't fun days, are they, Ian? We've said this before.
Yeah, they're
we?
Not my favourite. But looking at this, it's quite balanced in that you've got three Sunday events, three Saturday events, and a Saturday-Sunday. So they have actually balanced them out 50-50. They're not as we would want them all on Saturdays, but it is nice that they are giving a little bit more balance, because some people do work Saturdays, some people do work Sundays, some people work all weekend. So it's probably going to give a little bit more accessibility to people. But if you notice, they've not given times for any of these out. So they're probably all going to be 2 till 5s. You never know. We could have some 11-2s in there.
So should we talk about the elephant in the room, though? If you look at the pattern over the last few years with Gibble, Dino, do we genuinely think this article is going to feature on one of these dates, Axew, the baby Axew that we all desperately want?
I think it's very likely.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those. I know Milo and I, and I'm not sure about Mark, have conflicting opinions with. In theory, if they're following the same pattern, it should be June's community. But I've got a feeling they're going to push that back to August.
Do you think?
I don't know. I've just got a feeling that they're just going to make August like epic, and that would make August like next level.
It's my birthday month as well. It's going to be epic.
Likewise, Coops, likewise.
Yes, of course it is, yeah.
It'd be nice to get another Shundo Axew on my birthday.
Okay. Well, no, genuinely, if Axew Community Day is June, July or August, I know we don't think it's going to be July, but if it is one of those dates, then definitely we will be doing some trades after Ian, even if it's a Sunday, which is kind of annoying. If Axew's a Sunday, which...
I think it might be like June is the only Saturday comp day date. I think they'll put that as the Saturday, June. It follows the format, whereas the others will be Sunday. I don't know about you guys, but remember last year, July was Starly. You know,
it was a bit
I
dead.
I think July, I don't know, like we'll have to see, because, you know, this year, nothing major is happening in July. July used to be the big
GoFest
month. Now it's all August. It's a bit mad. It's like August, something major is happening every single weekend.
August is so busy. And moving on from the Axew talk, we've got another Community Day classic. I know Coops is going to say Machop. What do you guys think could potentially be the Community Day classic mon?
I'm actually not going to say Machop.
Are you not?
No, I'm going to say Shiny Machop. No. Obviously would want Machop, but I totally understand that you guys are like, Coops, it's an L, I don't want it. Yeah, do you know what, actually? Let me hear your guys' thoughts. But yeah, I would love Machop. I'll be honest. I'm going to just keep it real. I'd love Machop.
Me and Ian have spoken about this before, and I think we've even said it on the podcast before, but I think we're probably going to get a Gen 1 starter.
Absolutely. And I adamant, I'm sure we're going to get Squirtle. I've got nothing to base that on, but we are overdue a starter. There seems to be a lot of focus on Kanto. I mean, with a few of the communities, there have been a few sort of Kanto ones popping in recently. I think we'll get Squirtle as the community classic, but the question is, if we do, will we get the Squirtle Squad Squirtle?
They should do, theoretically, because it's like, let's copy the community day. Mm. The only difference, I think, would be obviously $1 ticket research these days. In addition, you don't get the raids because it's not part of a comp day classic. No. But, I mean, Squirtle Community Day in 2018 was actually July, so it's the same month. I can't remember the exact day. It might have actually been a Sunday as well, potentially.
Something tells me it was a Saturday, but I've got nothing to actually base that on.
But it was definitely July 2018's Community Day. Yeah. So it's interesting it falls in the same month. The only thing is now they probably have worked out a way to fix that you don't all get like the same shiny from the same quest.
It was on specific tasks, if you remember.
Yeah.
So if everybody that spanned and got that task,
it was
a guaranteed
stop.
Shiny. Yeah, on a specific stop.
So they'll probably change that. But I think there's a lot of potential for it to be Squirtle. We've already had Bulbasaur Comp Day Classic, Coops' favourite, definitely. We had Charmander twice already, had two main community days. Squirtle really is the only one, obviously, of the Gen 1s left.
Does that not annoy you, Milo, as a bang out? Because it winds me up. the fact we're going to get Squirtle Part 2. No one needs that. No, unless it comes with Blast Berm, no one needs that. Blast
Berm. It's a classic, isn't it? So it's for people that missed the original ones, realistically speaking. And
in my
the
eyes,
rest of
it
us
just feels like,
up.
Sorry. Yeah. Just, if they do drop the Squirtle Squad, you know, sunglasses, aviators in the quest, I'd just go for the quest hunt. I wouldn't really care too much because nowadays we've got, you know, Mega Swampert in the game. We've got Primal Kyogre, so Blastoise, even the Mega, is just dead.
I think for me, I've heard some people, certainly on subreddit, have said it'd be quite nice for them to put the proper shades on Squirtle as well, actually do it properly from the actual the animated series, because they're not the traditional ones, so that'd be quite nice if it did that. They are still a collector's item, certainly from the original one, as new players have come in. As I recall, I only probably was lucky to be in a town that had maybe two stops that had the same research that gave it, so I'd still need some to complete the family on that. But, you know, I think it'll be Squirtle. I know it pains you a bit, Coops, and I do agree that bit about, you know, just because they've done that, do they have to keep doing it? It's a classic. It's like there'll be people that have never played it before.
And that's the thing. I think we'd all say we'd rather have it be a Comde classic than a full second community day.
Yeah, if it's
like
taken
it
up completely. Yeah. Normal community date up, and
okay, you make a good point. Would I rather Squirtle instead of Axew? No, but would I mind Axew and Squirtle on the same map? Yeah, I get it. Fine. Okay, fine. I'll take the L again.
And bear in mind that just because the event's there, and I'm preaching to the choir, Coops, because you very rarely turn the game on, you don't have to play the community day if you don't want to.
If it's Squirtle, I won't.
It's like, don't worry, I won't turn the game on.
Yeah.
You worry, Ian.
I won't put
don't
it on for
worry.
The 5 minutes.
No. I'll get some XL for the Mega, for sure. Got a max out to 50, for sure. My OCD will kick in.
I've got some good news, Coops. If you do turn the game on, perhaps you'll be able to use the Master Ball to catch yourself a Squirtle.
To be honest, I'll probably do that by accident.
This would be fun to talk about. So this was dropped quite recently. The ultimate level of performance. Sounds like an enhancement. The Master Ball is finally coming to Pokemon Go, actually announced, and it's been in the game code for what feels like an eternity.
Years, I think it's been in the game code.
There's actually cave paintings in the Pyrenees of the Master Ball. Special research, Let's Go. You know the Let's Go research that's been hanging around on stage
for the one
four,
that lasted
saying,
for about 2 weeks, if that, and then just
it's
kind
just
of went AWOL.
Yeah, exactly. Professor Willow just disappeared and is like sat there. We're finally going to be able to complete that research. So to finish out this season, the final story will begin on May the 22nd. This is the final event of this season of this month. Willow's back with some news on Team Go Rocket's latest plans and a gift. You'll be able to claim the special research up until June the 1st at 10 a.m. local time. So this is obviously the season-long research.
So you do need to turn the game on at least once within that window.
To claim it, basically.
Okay, Ian, I heard you.
Everyone's thinking it.
Yeah, that was aimed at me. Sorry, Marlo. Carry on.
Yeah, you can't be the only one to mistakenly drop your Master Ball if you don't claim it.
We'll quickly get on to that. So they say, think wisely about how you'll use it and keep a lookout for future opportunities in Pokemon Go to acquire more. So unlike the main series games where you do literally just get one and that is it, there is hints of obviously getting more Master Balls in the future. Let's just start with the obvious thing. What do we think? Master Ball finally coming to Pokemon Go, is it a wow factor? How do we feel about it?
I think it's good that it's finally getting into the game, but it is too late, realistically.
Yeah, so I'll jump in as well, bro. Like, okay, I think the feature's great. I think having Master Ball, another ball, another element to the game, loads of different ways you could use it. You could use it stupidly enough on a Pidgey, if you wanted to.
A doof.
You know, you could use it on a last ball from a raid of a Hundo Giratina origin. You can use it on a Galarian bird. There's
Giratina O, was that, Coops, did you say? Sorry, just need clarification on that. Was it Giratina O?
Yeah. Deja vu. You was coached on that, Coops.
Literal deja vu. But look, I think it's a genuinely 10 out of 10 feature. I think it's needed. But a bit like what we all agree on and GoCast agrees on, years too late, miles too late, to the point where it kind of is a little bit pointless. Great for the Galarian birds, but the Galarian birds have been out a while now and we've kind of done months and months and months dealing with how the process works. So if this was done before the Galarian birds, the hype I feel like would have been way up there. Whereas now people are like, is what it is. And like you said, it's been in the code for ages, so everybody's not been surprised. It's not been like, you know, a week ago, people are like, oh my God, there's a Master Ball. As we all know, it's kind of been in the shadows, if I'm allowed to say that.
You are, but also think, shiny Galarian birds, maybe at some point.
2072.
They'd probably still run even if I threw a master ball out, wouldn't they?
It's easy to say that because, like, we're 7 years down the line with Pokemon Go, and I think there's probably a lot of things that we think that they've probably got wrong in terms of timelines. It is, like you said, it is too late as the current situation, the game. You know, the only things that we could think we might use it on are not really the greatest things you'd want to use them on, if that makes any sense. It seems like the only thing you'd use it on is the hardest thing to catch at the moment, which isn't the best thing in the game. So it feels like it's been put in the game, it's wasted. You know, will there be temptation to use it in that moment? Hell yeah. Will I do an Ian and stack them up? Probably.
Oh, we haven't got to that bit yet.
Oh, no, we haven't got to that bit yet, sorry.
It's all right, we'll leave that in. We'll talk about that next.
Yeah. How many are we going to get in the future? What does that look like? And what am I actually going to use it on? We have scratched our heads a bit about new things. And for me, this feels like a new item, which could signify new Pokemon being released alongside it. Maybe there will be long, long quests or methods of obtaining these Pokemon. And if you've been sensible and you've kept it, you might get rewarded for it. But I just think it's too early to really gauge what this looks like in the game.
I have to agree with you, boys. Like, it does feel like it's too late. Coop's made a very good point. If this had dropped alongside the Galarian Burb release, I think we'd have all gone, oh my God, like, we might as well try and use it on these things that are super difficult to catch. But it's been 10 months practically since the Galarian Birds were dropped in with the Daily Adventure Incense after Seattle Go Fest.
Is that really how long it's been?
Yeah.
July.
It's been that long.
Did I say a few months? Sorry.
It's been that long. Like, well, we've all come to terms with the fact that Galarian Birds are very hard to catch. They'll probably run away on you. And Mark said, yeah, it's correct. The Galarian Birds are very limited in their usability of the game. They're not that amazing.
Sorry to repeat myself, but, like, this is what I don't understand. I get it from I'm not a collector. I don't collect costume Pokemon. I don't collect, so I will never understand that mindset. But, like, why would you use a Master Ball on a 3, 9, 7 Galarian Zapdos? Like, what is, like, genuinely, and I know we said we can lucky trade them, but we also know how that goes as well.
You'll get a 12
and I'm not
13.
Being negative, because you can get your 1 in 300 and get the they're not shiny yet, and get the lucky Hundo, get the Lundo. I don't get the hype. If I'm being honest, I'm going to save mine, for example, when Mega Mewtwo comes to raids or Rayquaza comes back or whatever, and I've got a Hundo, and if it does get down to, if they do change the catch rate, which I think they have, haven't they, in the...
They've hidden the catch rates.
Even so worse.
This was the thing, is that people theorising that they might stop it being a guaranteed catch on legendary shiny Pokemon from the raids.
But
it's theorised.
The interesting thing is Niantic have never said and gone on record saying it's a guaranteed catch on a shiny legendary. It's just something that we've come to understand because it's been happening, but they've never actually said it's a guaranteed catch.
If nothing is now guaranteed, it makes the Master Ball even more rarer, and it makes it even more of a greater of even more the master of all balls. So it's like, I will say, if I get 16 balls, I'll try 15 times. And if not, I will use my Master Ball, whether that's a shiny Mewtwo or a shiny Rayquaza or a Hundo Rayquaza or a, you know, my second Hundo Giratina. Oh, like, you know, regardless of what it is, that's what I'll be saving my Master Ball for. And especially if we only get 2, 3, 4, 5 a year, you know what I mean? You know, here's me wanting one every week, but we know that's not going to happen. You know, we know that's not going to happen.
On that point, Coops, do we remember Cosmog from the Season of Light research? And they said Cosmog. In that, don't worry, you'll be able to get more Cosmog or another Cosmog in the distant future. That was in September of last year.
That was
That's quite a long time ago. I think we've progressed the somewhat distant future, and literally no word of extra Cosmog whatsoever. So bear in mind that they say you'll be able to get another one of these or more of these in the distant future or whatever it is.
It's 2025.
It will be a very long time.
And this is the thing, it's purposely left vague.
Yeah.
I mean, we were theorizing with GoCast that it could be one a quarter, but something deep down inside me,
I think it
seems
might
to think
like
that might be too much. I think it's going to be rarer.
And you are right. We discussed with the boys one every season, which is one every quarter. So that's 4 a year. All right, let's go around the room. Marky, let's start with you. Genuinely, knowing that this item, whether it's going to be you actually have to throw it, whether you can actually drop the ball, whether you can actually hit the Pokemon. Yeah, but or you just click it. And
don't
it
play in the rain, people.
Yeah. Or you just click it and it is an animation like the Megas when they evolve. I've got absolutely no idea. None of us have got any idea what's going to happen. It's actually quite exciting to see what's going to happen in the coming weeks. But what do we genuinely all think from May right now, 2023? How many do you think we're going to get per year, honestly?
I'm going to say, I think one a year, if we're lucky.
Thanks, Mark.
Ask Milo next, mate. Ask Milo next.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Marky. Milo?
I think they'll be generous, and I think they'll give us one as part of our weekly research reward. That'd be quite nice. And we'll be able to stack them up maybe 12 every 3 months.
I would suffer through Parasite for that.
Yeah, definitely. No, I mean, can't see it being maybe more than one a season, one every quarter.
Okay, Coops?
My thought on it is, this has to be one of the most valuable balls in the game. We know that it's a guaranteed catch. It's the most powerful.
It's the big
ball.
Nuts. The
yeah,
big balls.
Literally, it's that big purple ball. So it's not going to get used very often. You're not going to get them very often. Like we said, you only get one in the main series game. Well, in the story mode, you only get one in the main series game. If we get one a year, I think that seems realistic because this ball has to have some sort of value to it. It has to have some sort of exclusivity to it. They might give us two a year, but I genuinely don't think we'll get one a quarter. I think if we get two a year, then that's probably going to be on the generous side.
So Milo, all jokes aside, you're having one a year. Ian, you're one a year. And Mark, you're about four-ish a year.
Absolutely maximum. But yeah, I think the one a year is more likely. But yeah, I'm just trying to be a bit optimistic.
All right.
Yeah.
What about you, Ian?
What about you, Waterfall?
Yeah, come on, Ian.
I actually completely disagree with you guys. I'm on the other end, right? And I've thought about this. I think they've bought these out primarily because of the Galarian birds. And because, like what we spoke about, they want to change up the raiding game. They've obviously got rid of remote raids, basically. They've made the remote raids more expensive. As we all know, we've spoken about that time and time again. And they've obviously hidden the catch rate. Why have they hidden the catch rate? It's because they're going to change it. They're going to make it worse, right? That's the whole point. They're not going to hide
it. Do you think legendaries might become as hard to catch as the Galarian birds?
No, not as hard, because I think aren't Galarian birds like 1 in 25 or something ridiculous like that?
They're like a 0.2% catch rate.
No, but I know that they've hidden the stats on that because they're going to change them and make them worse. And deep down, we all know that. We just don't want to think that. So I think going off that you can do a daily adventure in Sense a day, which means you can potentially get a Galarian bird a day. You can raid all day long. You can do five remote raids when there's an event. 10 could make it more. We got GoFest and that coming up. I genuinely believe, and you lot are going to laugh at this, I think we might get about like one a month, genuinely. Oof. No?
I can't see it.
If we say one a week, Ian.
But with the research breakthrough.
But do you not think these type of balls would be implemented, you know, when you hit legend in GBL, you get a master ball?
Oh, I hope
like,
not.
No, they can't lock it behind GBL. No.
I'm not saying lock behind GBL, but like we've said, they might be able to get, you might be like a 5% chance to get them on the 7-day stamper. I feel like they'll implement these master balls. Maybe you get one from battling Giovanni. I genuinely do not think it'll be one a year. And I think if it is, that would be the worst decision they could make. I think there are ample opportunities to use the master ball. And I also think there's ample opportunities to give them to us. And I also know it is Niantic as well. I think it's more than four a year, like Marky said, than less than four a year, if that makes sense.
I think there's more chance, if you want to get more of them being put in the shop. It depends what value they assign to them. I think, you know, without going down that rabbit hole, I think Niantic are getting more influence of the Pokemon company potentially.
I was
this
just going there, Mark. The Pokemon company are not going to let this ball be... It's too OP. Yeah. If there was that common in the game, it's too OP.
Yeah, they're very overpowered.
But one a year?
Well, we're waiting on Cosmog.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You know, that was a research sort of exclusive thing, and they said they'd be getting more of that, and that was 8 months ago.
Crazy.
We'll have to see what they do, because all of these little bits and pieces, you know, the remote raid nerf, and then the hiding the catch rate, and then suddenly the master balls now are being made available through this research to end off this season. My opinion, they've got to tread a very careful line, because if they change the catch rate on legendaries and make them incredibly hard to catch and give you one master ball, even per season, that will kill the raiding game.
That's what I'm saying.
That would absolutely annihilate it.
They're not going to do that. They might change the catch rate, but they're not going to make it so it's like 0.2%.
Let's not talk too soon.
This is all just theory or whatever, but we'll have to see.
Ultimately, if they do, that's Niantic and the Pokemon Company's decision. Whether we like it or not, that's up to them. If they want to create some sort of balance.
I don't like it when you talk like this, Ian.
Balance. Balance. We love that word, balance.
We'll have to deal with what they do. It's like, I don't know. It's like when they change something that major after however many years, you're like, I can understand maybe changing the guaranteed catch of a shiny. Some people really only raid to get a shiny and complete the decks like that, and that might make it more valuable. Yeah. But if they make it so that you can only catch one in 50 legendaries or something, you do.
They're not going to do that. Let's be realistic. They're not going to do that.
Very unlikely.
They might take away the guaranteed catch on shinies because that's never officially been a thing. But they're not going to make these legendaries impossible to catch.
I wouldn't necessarily mind if shiny legendaries weren't a guaranteed catch, because then you sort of keep going.
How often do you have a legendary run on you? Let's be honest, it's very rare a legendary will run.
If it's not a guaranteed catch, but then it's a bad IV shiny, it's like, well, would I waste my Master Ball on this?
Exactly.
You know, that sort of thing. So that might be a bit of sort of carrot and stick.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think it'll be a really silly decision if Niantic change the catch rate to, if you encounter a shiny Lugia, for example, and it genuinely after 15 balls could run. I think that would be a really stupid decision, especially, sometimes it takes you 40, 50, 60, 70 raids to get a shiny, then it runs. You'd just be over it, wouldn't you?
You'd be over it very quickly.
People would stop raiding.
Loads of people haven't they? But yeah, it is what it is. And like I said, I'm very excited for the Master Ball. I think it's fantastic, and I think it's a great feature.
It's just nice to see something new added to the game, even if it is just literally something that we're excited about for 2 minutes. Oh, I've got it, great.
New balls.
Okay, let's go there, because we did talk about this on GoCast. How are you guys planning on, if at all, using your Master Ball? Because as Mark alluded to, I've already said I'm going to sit on mine.
I say I'm not going to use it. I've only ever seen one Galarian Articuno, and I love the design of it, and I haven't caught any of them yet. If I was to encounter a Galarian Articuno on a daily incense, that's the only time I'd have a twitchy finger. But unless they tempt fate and make him more often, you see them when they release the Master Ball. But I might never have that temptation with my luck so far. And I am a daily incense regular. Quietly confident, Ian, I'll have it for a very long time based on that.
I'm going to be very much like you, Ian, and just sit on it. Mm. There's genuinely nothing at the moment with the current state of the game that I could think I need to use a Master Ball on. Like the way that legendaries catch at the moment, you can throw the stupidest throw with no throw bonus.
You're more likely to catch it with a spammy throw than with an excellent curve.
The Galarian birds, they're on daily adventure incense now, but we know that Pokemon Go and patiently waiting go very well hand in hand.
Yep.
They'll come to raids, let's face it,
we've got the biggest events of the year coming up.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to be happening, but we have had legendaries spawn in the wild at these events in the past.
Yeah.
Exactly. And eventually we will get to a Galar themed tour in some way.
Yeah.
However many years in the future. So yeah, for me, I'm just gonna sit on it and wait.
Can I join into the club, boys? Is that okay? Will you let me in?
Yeah, Ian, go for it.
You should have caught a Sigilyph.
I'm sorry, Milo. Okay, next.
You're never going to live this down.
I know. I will be going back to Greece, though. Beautiful, beautiful place.
It is.
But anyway,
this time I'll phone you.
Yeah. No, voice note me.
Voice note you live on straight on the show. Yes.
Yeah, because you want to catch my attention. I'll be like, wait, Milo's just sent me a voice note. 100% sitting on it. I can literally imagine myself encountering a Hundo legendary from a raid that I want in the next 5 years. And I'll get to the last ball and I'll say, which is kind of sad because how stressful is it on that last ball? You're not going to ever feel that anymore. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but it's a great, great feature. So yeah, click the Master Ball. That's what I can see myself doing it. I've genuinely used the Adventure Incense, not being negative. I've used it less than 10 times, genuinely, since it's been out.
Once a month.
Yeah, five of those times I've only used it for 10 minutes, 5 minutes max. So it's not a feature for me. I've got no interest in getting a Galarian bird. But though, I think Galarian Zapdos is actually quite good for Great League or Ultra League. I can't remember what one. Yeah, it's got counter.
I think it's Great League, yeah.
Yeah, is it Great League? Yeah, I've seen a few videos on that. Shout out Home Slice Henry.
No, Ian.
I know it is only a matter of time.
Love you, Home Slice.
Beep, 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 beep.
Mark, we all know why you're doing that bibbidi beep beep noise, because you're trying to cover up how big you're...
Yeah, all the talk of Master Ball has meant we need to ask a serious question. And a question that we asked was, out of the boys, who is most likely to drop their Master Ball? Serious questions. We've had 68 people vote. We'll go through the results, then we'll have some of the comments afterwards, I think, this time around. But anyway, in fourth place, the guy who's completed Pokemon Go, Pogo Milo UK, with 9% of the vote.
People are optimistic.
Yeah, I'm glad you got a vote.
Yeah. In third place, the guy who thinks he will sit on his until it hatches, Mr. Waterfall.
It hatches into a peridot.
Oh, God.
Imagine with 12% of the vote, Ian. So 12% of the people think you'll drop your Master Ball.
12% of the people think I'm incompetent.
In second place, Wow, it's me. I don't want to sort of try and masterful 27 with his master ball with 15%.
Oh,
of the most.
Masterful with his master nice. Ball.
That means before I read the comments, our boy Casual Coops with 65% of the fact is most likely to drop his master ball. And some of the comments were Lucy Davis said, Coops, just like he's used the adventure in the sense when it was new during the show, not realizing he had to be walking.
Yeah, see, I remember that one.
Yeah,
that was one of my 10 times, by the way, I've used it.
And you did it at Christmas as well, I think.
Yeah.
Master has said, I get the feeling everyone will say Coops the Casual, but I have faith that man can handle his balls well. The Tequila Man has said, laugh out loud, the ginger in brackets walking carpet Chewbacca.
A ginger walkie.
Walking carpet.
Ginger yeah, that's what Princess Leia calls
Kitty
him.
Kitty Pokemon's a lot has said, 100% Coops the Casual. Sue Hervis Ninja's put, I'm going to have to pick Milo. He's the most likely to play outside in the rain, have the ball get stuck in a raindrop and drop to the ground.
There you go.
Yeah, that could happen.
Haven't you got the umbrella, though?
Oh, yes, I now have like a tiny little phone umbrella. So back in the day, maybe, no longer.
Highbone said, is this even a competition? And then Mike Griffin has put, if not Coops, then maybe Milo. Joking aside, though, I did do a proper poll, and this one's actually got about half an hour left to run on it. We will read it out now, and it was that debate we've spoken about, is you have one master ball, which of these will you be using it on? And that's very much in the now. We had 583 votes on this one. Some people's answers that weren't Galarian Birds, but and I like this one, Invader Waffle put, he would like to catch Angelina Jolie.
Oh, master ball. I love that. That really cracked me up.
Gen 10.
Yeah. Gen 10.
Alongside Brexit.
Yeah. UK regional.
Arceus has had a few mentions. Kerry Young, one of many that have said that. Magpie Malcolm has put, use, you mean keep it in my inventory as nothing will ever be worthy of it, just like in the mainstream games. Most people are just going to hoard it, I think. There is a bit of love for some of the birds, but yeah, Keith, we'll finish on Evasion. 1982 has said, Bidoof the God. You're not going to use on Bidoof, Keith.
Of course he has.
Bidoof is too good.
It's the God Pokemon, isn't
Pokemon.
It? Yeah.
So in fourth place, Galarian Zapdos with 18% of the vote. Third, Galarian Articuno with 20% of the vote. Second, Galarian Moltres with 21% of the vote. 41% of people have said something else. That's the Master Ball talk done. But something else happened this week. Yeah, some people, it was very sad. Some people said, what are they? This week, we had the announcement after 7 years that the Sylph Road was going to be closing at the end, I think, this season. I thought I was actually quite disappointed in myself when I heard that, because I certainly used the Sylph Road, certainly up to maybe a couple of years before the pandemic. And it was always something I went to. And I'll be honest with you, I used it purely for finding nests. That was one part of it. There's loads of other parts. I'm sure some of the boys might cover those as we talk about it, but that was what I enjoyed from it. As I saw the input drop off and it became less of a database, it became very less relevant in the areas I was around, I just stopped using it. When I found a nest in my local area for the first time, I was quite excited and went, do you know what? It's the first time I think I found a nest. And I was going to, believe it or not, log into the Sylph Road and log it. And that's when I saw that notification. But yeah, it's gone. Or it's going. Does anyone else want to add anything to it? What were their thoughts on that news?
Yeah, so when the news hit, it's one of those things where it's just always been, well, it hasn't always been there, but it's been there since pretty early in Pokemon Go, and it's one of those things, it's there, and a lot of people either will use it consistently if you're doing the Sylph Cups and the PvP tournaments. There's a lot of activity there, but the Sylph Road were part of the Ambassador program as well, which links in with Niantic, and as well as things like the Nest Finders, the Traveler cards, etc. And I've got to admit, when I heard the news, it was a bit of a gut punch. Part of me did think, well, I'm as much to blame about this as anyone else, because it's a resource that has been there for a long period of time within the lifespan of Pokemon Go. And in the early days, I did use it to trace sort of nests. They had like a little interaction chart where you could map who you'd had contact with, all the trainers around the world, and the community days, the passports, the traveler cards. But I haven't used it for so long. They haven't closed down because people aren't using it. They've closed down. I think there's a lot
closed
more.
Down, Ian, because of you.
Just yeah, because of me. It's of you. My fault.
Yeah.
But literally, as we were recorded tonight, I just tried to log on to the software website. It's literally gone already.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's literally gone already. It's going to be a phased close down. The majority of the stuff is already gone. They're still going to be working on the community event check-ins. That will run up until, I think, this weekend for the community
it's
day.
It's Fennekin's the final one.
Mm. Yeah, and then August for the League of the PvP, the current tournaments and so forth. But pretty much after that, it is going to be gone. And reading the brief that they put out, that they've worked quite closely with Niantic on the ambassador program, and they have been sponsored by Niantic for the last year. So reading between the lines, if it hadn't been for Niantic, they could have potentially been gone sooner.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of chains, they have been a very good resource to people that want them. They will certainly be missed. I know their Reddit is going to still stay live, but Reddit is almost as toxic as Twitter these days. So
social media.
Make of that what you will, social media in general. Yeah, Whitfield?
It is actually a very sad and momentous thing to be happening because, as you said, they have been there for the longest time. And actually, as somebody who is interested in statistics, etc., to do with the game, the amount of background work these guys did in terms of looking at shiny rates for legendaries, for wild spawns, catch rates, etc., all of the data for events, you know, hatching eggs.
I've got some statistics, Milo, actually. This is from their Reddit post.
Throw them out.
In the 7 years the Silk Road was live, 33,608 communities on the league map from 74 countries. 1,969,022 travel cards created. 2,684,322 nests received. Nest reports received. 135,210 PvP tournaments where 3,923,894 matchups were played. 1,671,245 event check-ins recorded at live meetups, staffed by 29,314 in-person volunteers, and website sessions on thesilfroad.com since 2016, 206,560,141 and 821,308 subscribers to their subreddit.
Wow.
That has a lot of activity there.
It's big numbers.
They have been a huge hub. Think back to the game when they initiated their site and what they did, etc. They were the precursor to GBL and PvP. They actually initiated a format. They created their own cups, which actually many people prefer doing the Sylph Cups rather than GBL itself. They initiated the whole aspect of in-game friendship before it was even added into the game with the Traveller cards. They have been instrumental in getting ideas off the ground before Niantic have even thought to pick them up and put them into the game. That's how influential these guys have been. It's been a huge, huge effort on their side. And I can understand, obviously, nothing's free. Things have costs to run, and they have been sponsored for the last year by Niantic around the same time last year when they all got sort of picked up, and it was to initiate the community ambassador program.
But it was Pokemon Go that released an article about it, didn't they? So they've definitely...
Well, Silph Road put out a little statement themselves, and then there's actually a Pokemon Go article. Yeah. I won't read the entire thing, but basically what they're going to do is the community ambassador program will continue to move forward into its next iteration. And while we're closing application for the month of May during the transition, basically it's going to be rehosted using Campfire rather than the Silph Road itself. There were a few things with the community ambassador program because of the way that Sylph did their little hub communities in terms of the levels. We started only really using Sylph here in Ealing because of the community ambassador program. It's like, okay, we can actually build something. I'd used the Traveller card and the little handshake meetup stuff and the Nest reporting. I loved doing the Nest reporting. That was good fun. But I'd never done the PvP tournaments, etc.
We know.
Building a little, who'd have thought it? But building a little community, etc., and getting people interacting and trying to level that up. There was a level where you had to host a certain amount of PvP tournaments. Obviously, here, no one cares. So that wasn't going to happen. How they structure it now with Campfire is going to be very interesting.
Especially since Campfire isn't fully rolled out to the entire user base.
That's the thing. Campfire needs to go out to the whole player base, the whole community. From where I'm standing, I have little faith. I don't like to sound too skeptical, but from what we've seen recently with events, the way that things have been handled, how much hope do we have that Niantic can be able to handle this in a decent manner? I don't know.
I've personally never used the Silph Road. I know exactly what it is because I think Trainer Tips always used to do his event videos in the early days. He used to use it a lot. The boys have said all about the parks and the nests, is what I'm trying to say. As you can imagine, casual coops, I never needed to go to a nest to grind.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a collector, as I said earlier, so I don't really care much about the virtual badges. It's just a personal thing for me. But I do know that the Silph Road was supported by a lot of the big, big, big boys in the Pokemon Go space, and a lot of them were involved as well. So I know that this is definitely, I mean, look, I really hope the campfire thing and the ambassador program, and I hope it works out. Just hope they didn't cut this big lead off a little bit too early. That's what, if that makes sense.
Because, yeah, I hope they didn't cut ties too early.
Yes, because I feel like campfire, no one uses it. I've not even logged into it because I can't.
Not everybody
asked,
can
like,
get it.
Yeah, no one can even get it. It's a bit of a mess. It's like a really rubbish version of Discord. It's like everyone's already got their WhatsApps, their Telegrams, their Discords there. So I'll end it off on that. I just hope they haven't cut ties too early. And I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, absolutely. It is worth saying that one or two things will still remain around, I believe. So the Traveler's card that you've, if you built up, will still remain. And I think you might be able to still update it. But all the things like the data collection, the nests, the PvP tournaments, once it gets beyond August, it's going to be gone entirely.
But I think certainly from the four of us, and as far as the actual player base of Pokemon Go, we'd just like to say thank you to everybody at the Silph Road for everything that you did. It has been appreciated, and it will be a shame to see you go.
But boys, good news!
What?
We've got even more news, and this is actually quite exciting, and something you can use your Master Ball on. We have shiny Shadow Mewtwo coming to Shadow Raids.
Oh,
yes, you heard
God.
That right. Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Milo is...
I'm very much a rising hero right now.
He is for now. Let's get into the detail and see how long that lasts.
He's a rising hero. Excellent. Excellent banner. But I'll tell you what, Milo, this is a bit of you. I'm going to let you read this out because this is hype, and we'll see if it's hype at the
end. Let's see how far through the article our optimism drops off, shall we? But can you face the shadows, trainers? Shadows are rising. Team Go Rocket has grown audacious. I won't prattle through the entire literacy of the article, but essentially Team Rocket have expanded from just taking over Pokestops with the Rocket Leaders and the Grunts. They're now going to be taking over gyms, and Shadow Raids are in the game from May the 22nd. So Monday, the day after this episode has aired.
10 a.m. local time.
Indeed. Thanks for I'd have left that out. And as Koops has said, the most important aspect is Shadow Shiny Mewtwo will be the first raidable Shadow Legendary in Pokemon Go. Rightly so, to generate a bit of hype. Worth noting, though, as Koops just before the recording didn't clock, and I missed this initially. You're not alone with this. I missed this initially on the article as well earlier today.
Good.
Shadow Mewtwo will appear in 5-star Shadow Raid Battles from Saturday, May the 27th at 10 a.m. local time to Sunday, May the 28th at 8 p.m. local time. So only the next weekend, the final weekend of May 2023, will have basically a 2-day raid sesh for Shadow Shiny Mewtwo potential.
Are we hitting him with the bad news now, or are we saving it?
It's just, who wants to do
it's
the
not bad,
bad
news? Seriously, it's not bad news.
Okay. I think we need to get to that in a little bit. Let's cover some
mechanic.
More. There are more Shadow Raids that will be going on in between now and when Shadow Mewtwo becomes available in the 5-star Shadow Raid. So from Monday, May the 22nd at 10 a.m. local time until May the 28th at 8 p.m. local time, majority of gyms will host new Shadow Raids. These are broken down into the following tiers. 1-star Shadow Raids will have Shadow Shiny Potential Poliwag, Shadow Machop, Shadow Bellsprout, which is the only one that doesn't have a Shiny Potential at the moment, and Shadow Beldum. Not a bad crop of Shadows, to be honest.
Not too bad.
Boys, have you noticed our Comde Classic Pokemon there battling each other?
Shadow That's Machop, very true. Beldum and Shadow. Yes, indeed.
And moving on to 3-stars. Now, this batch isn't quite as good in terms of Shadow Shiny potential. We've only got the Shadow Shiny Sneasel that's available on that. We've also got non-shiny Shadow Bayleaf, Shadow Quilava, and Shadow Croconaw available in the Tier 3 raid. So I'd probably stay clear of most of those.
Yes.
Shadow Bayleaf for Great League, maybe, I don't know.
Oh, God.
We are going to actually have normal raids as well, so I don't know if maybe Team Go Rocket take over the raid from the beginning of the timer or maybe towards the end. That'll be a cool feature. I've got absolutely no idea how it's going to work, but we're going to have normal raids, as I said, and in the 1-stars shiny potential, you're going to have Clefairy, Tentacle and Marill, and then non-shiny, you're going to have Skrelp and Popplio.
Definitely raiding that.
And in the 3-star raids, we've got shiny potentials, Lapras and Marowak. And non-shiny is Magneton and Empoleon, or Chasing the Tail, famous E.
Tapu Fini will continue to be the legendary in place until Wednesday, 24th of May, when it will rotate into Regigigas for the remainder of the event. Mega Raids, same sort of thing. Mega Pinsir will stay in situ until the 24th, and at 10 o'clock on Wednesday, it will switch to Mega Altaria. So another two you're not going to raid.
Not ooh.
It's definitely not ooh.
Speaking of things that are less than par, this event will actually have wild encounters. Can you believe it? After the hero event. So the encounters are the following. Ekans.
Koffing.
Houndour.
Poochyena.
And Skorupi. Now, all of those can be shiny, and then ones that can't are...
Golbat.
And Stunky.
And some trainers might even encounter the following... Hisui and Quillfish and a Scraggy, guys. They obviously can't be shiny, but yeah.
Fantastic.
Shiny, by the way, shiny Scraggy, when is that happening? When is that happening? Well over June.
Well over that June. Tour event's happening.
Yeah, true.
One event bonus, typical for a Team Rocket event. So Team Go Rocket will appear more frequently at Pokestops and in balloons. So expect balloons to be rotating every 3 hours, and the Rocket Grunts will appear at stops very, very often. And alongside of that, field research... Tasks focused on defeating Team Rocket and catching Pokemon will be available. Trainers can earn a mysterious component and Stardust as rewards.
And rounding out this event, there's an actually, Coops, you do this as your bag.
Do you know what? I knew you were going to wind me up. I hate you. Yeah, there's an avatar pose. The following new avatar pose will be available from the event onwards. And it's a rising hero pose.
It is, because they're on the tippy toes and they're rising.
It is. It's a bit like my legend one, isn't it?
It's a bit like you doing ballet, actually, Coops.
Shut up, Ian.
Now, that's obviously the brand new event, the one to round out the season of Rising Heroes. It looks pretty tasty.
No. The last weekend looks tasty.
Okay, fine. Obviously, Shadow Raids are a new mechanic, and there's quite a lot of information to go alongside of it. It's not just like the Elite Raid when they just went... It's a normal legendary raid, but it's location locked.
Now, this is totally new and actually quite exciting, I would dare say.
Yeah, ditto, Ian. I agree. I'm actually, like, genuinely, guys, before the recording, me and Milo were, like, planning 2 days in Ealing, having a sleepover until he broke me the bad news that Shadow Mewtwo's
only there on Saturday and Sunday.
At the end of the week. And I was like, oh, that's rubbish. But yeah, anyway.
Should we
talk about Shadow Raids, boys? Because like you said, there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it.
The question is where to begin on this article.
Now, it's not Santa Claus coming to town. Team Go Rocket's coming to town.
I'd rather read that than what's on the article.
Yeah, fair.
Basically, when Team Go Rocket take over a gym, they will host either a 1-3 or, at the weekend, a 5-star raid. Now, the 5-star and 3-star raids, when you're battling the 3 or 5-star raid bosses, then during the raid, the Pokemon itself will become enraged, which when that happens, their attack and defense will be boosted, therefore making it harder to take down. Now, there is a way to, and Niantic have called this, subdue them, which involves getting something called a purification gem.
And the way to get a purification gem is actually through a new item that will drop when you defeat Rocket Grunts. They're called Shadow Shards, and much like the mysterious components, you're going to need to collect multiples of them to form this gem. And there's actually a new thing that you do, isn't there? There's something you purify the
Yeah, Professor
the Shadow
Willow
shard.
Has the Shard Refiner, which That's will basically it. Refine your shards into a gem, which you can use during the raid to subdue the Pokemon.
And I'm guessing you'll get that on page one of the research when it says collect 5 hyper potions.
You're going to get 5 pineapps in reward for that, probably. Yeah. You and your fellow trainers can use more than one purified gem during a shadow raid. If used at the same time, their effects will stack, which is quite interesting. And if enough purified gems are used, the enraged shadow raid boss will be subdued, returned to its non-enraged state, and it might give you the edge you need to defeat it. I love that it's Crocknaw is the featured image on it. Really? Are people going to go for Crocknaw? But there is one glaring, massive, monumental elephant in the room with these shadow raids. Trainers cannot join shadow raids using remote raid passes. And shadow raids, this is not actually that bad, this last one. Shadow raids do not reward team bonus for Premier Balls.
Which, why would they? Because Tigo Rocket have taken over the gym.
Exactly, so it's not really a relevant aspect. But like the Elite Raids, another non-remotable type of raid. So hopefully that sort of cleared up how the Shadow Raids are going to work. It's going to be a bit more easy to have a go in the next week at this, and how they're going to spawn after that, I suspect, probably like the Rocket Grunts, it will be more infrequent. Boys, I think, probably agree with me, Shadow Legendary Shiny raids will be special event things.
They will be weekends. Big events. They'll require coordination, cooperation, and they are going to be pretty epic. I mean, bear in mind, Mewtwo is probably the most powerful Pokemon in Go at the moment.
It is.
Shadow Mewtwo is going to top that, which we know it already has done. That will only be eclipsed when Mega Mewtwo eventually gets released, but that is some way off.
Indeed.
I think it's really interesting because I sort of struggled doing the Primal Kyogre and the Primal Groudon raids at the start of the year with like six, seven people, probably because I was using Lugia. but no, I wasn't really, Milo, don't shoot me. I wasn't really.
Oh, God.
But, actually, no, people were when we was in Vegas.
Oh, fair enough. It's just recommended, isn't it? But yeah, so I genuinely believe that if you don't use the purified gems,
You're going to have to use the purified gems.
Yeah, and if you don't, I genuinely think you might need 15, 16 trainers to defeat it. Like genuinely.
Well, this is the thing. They haven't released any stats, so we don't really know what we're expecting yet. We'll probably have a better conversation next week when we've all tried it out.
Go, yeah.
But I do really like this feature because it does really get the community together, and it gets your friends together, and it comes up with a plan of action. Communication's needed, like you said, Ian. So I do get it, but at the same time, it's a shame you can't use your 5 remote passes a day. I will just say that, and I will have to say that. It's the event's only for 2 days. I can't remote in. I'm working both weekends the whole day. I'm gutted. It's a shame, but you know, it is what it is. I'm just going to have to fall short this time. But it does exclude a lot of rural players, a lot of people that work, just generally people that don't have a big community, you know, and don't really know how to get in contact with people in their local area. I know what you're going to say, Ian. I get it. They are pushing to, and I understand.
No, there's obviously been fallout on Twitter, and I know Milo was firmly in the camp of, oh, remote raids and that sort of thing. And I totally get it. I do feel for the community, but I have come to peace with what's happened in the game. You've got to look at this from Niantic's point of view. One of the reasons that these things were probably nerfed last month was because this was coming. And it is, we all know how easy it is to farm legendaries by just raiding incessantly. I'm as bad as the next person. I do feel for remote people that are rural. I do feel for people with problematic lifestyle like you, because you're working and people are disabled. All of the things that people throw at me whenever I say I understand where Niantic are going. But this is the way the game is going forward. And whilst I don't agree with the path, people are only hurting themselves by not letting it go. That's my take on it. You've kind of got to accept it now.
Well, let's try and sidestep the sort of murky water of all of that bits and pieces. But it's a new raid mechanic. You know, we've discussed many times the Elite Raids. Like, could they have remotable access? Yes, perhaps they could do. People were not happy even when that, and you know, it had Hooper Unbound for 3 months back to back, and then it's had Regidrago with many issues, Regieleki with many issues, and now Regidrago again. These were not amazing Pokemon, and still it excluded some people who were collectors, etc., and didn't have a chance to do it. I mean, Mark actually is a very good case in point. He had to trade for both of his when he came up to Ealing. That's one thing. You could trade the Regis. Shadows you can't trade. So this is very much firmly locking this to people who can conform. And we know we discussed it actually very recently to Niantic's calendar and when they put events out. But I can't see what the problem was potentially with allowing, like, you know, a handful.
They don't want us to remote raid anymore. It's that simple.
I know they don't.
It's easy to say, I'll give us a remote raid, but they don't want us to do that. That's why none
of the
new
mechanics
have come in.
Well, that's just my opinion. I think it could have followed the system of having perhaps one person being able to be invited. If it's going to be a super exclusive event sort of thing, be a little bit more inclusive. That's how I feel about it. You know, I've seen many of people through my communities like, well, it's just not physically possible for me to manage it. Not just because of being rural, you know, inability to move around, etc. Just the practicalities of life.
Exactly. I feel for these people. Yeah, I totally do.
But fundamentally, it is a new raid mechanic. So if they were going to initiate a new style of gameplay, Elite Raids was one step. This is another step.
Precisely.
We're going to have to see how it unfolds.
No, for sure. And like I said, to like wrap this up, because I do think this whole week is going to be amazing, genuine. And I think Shadow Raids moving forward, I think I said this ages ago, like months ago, I said the game will do Raids, then they'll do Shadow Raids, then they'll
do... We did talk about it a while ago.
Yeah, it's just obvious. It's the longevity, isn't it? They try to kill our bank accounts as much as possible.
But they're not.
but I think that I can understand where you're coming from, Milo, because you are right. We went from remote raiding, if you wanted to, 500 times a day to a huge price increase, a huge cut, just shut that remote raiding community off completely. And then, you know, when you get a feature like this, and we've kind of got used to having that five a day, and then they're like, actually, we're not even going to give you the five. I'm with you, bro. And I it's hard for me because I do understand Ian's point of view, and I'm
in the minority. I get that, but we don't get to choose how they bring out elements of the game.
No, but that's what I'm saying, bro. I'm very strict and very stern in agreeing with you, and I've said on plenty of occasions, Niantic make their game, they do what they want to do, and they don't care about keyboard warriors on Twitter. That's a fact. I'm not disputing that, but as a person that loves this game and I love this new feature, it would have been really great after 6-7 weeks of me, you know, not raiding and realising, more expensive remote raids, I can do five a day, to actually use my five a day and be really hyped with it. And it's just weird that they've chose to cut that off when it is only five, right? We're not talking about 55, we're only talking about five. So interesting. It's an interesting move from them, and like you, Ian, it's really interesting to see moving forward into the summer and the end of the year whether remote raids will be done.
They're never going to totally, in my opinion, and this could go down a big rabbit hole, they're never going to take remotes away totally. They're going to remain. That's why they've restricted us to five a day. But I do kind of, and I know I'm going to get a backlash for this, I do see the argument that when people were doing 30, 40, 50 a day, it was completely kind of skewing the balance. We've got to remember, legendaries should be very rare and exclusive Pokemon. We shouldn't have like 100 of them in our dexes.
And then as soon as you introduce shadows that are up until this point have been extremely exclusive. I mean, even we've discussed many times about the fact that when you do a shadow legendary Giovanni battle, you get something that's utterly trash. Yes. You get a good IV one, it's extremely, extremely lucky. All of us who've been playing back in 2020 for when GoFest had the day two rocket thing and we got all of the Gen 1 birds with decent-ish stats. Mm-hmm. I hope that this has normal raid 10-10-10 kind of IV floor. So you can actually, if you do raids in person, grind a good one. But it makes me think, actually, maybe this Shadow Shiny Mewtwo is not a guaranteed Shadow.
It would make it, like we talked about earlier, the catch rates have been
Master
hidden.
Ball.
Master Ball being released.
It's a potential.
It
indeed.
All makes sense. And like you said, by the way, we don't even know the IV floor yet, do we?
We don't
even know.
You could get a 1-1-1. Who knows?
It'll be me. That'll be me.
But let's. I know it's a tricky subject, but let's skirt over the whole issue of like the remote raids and things like that. Let's just talk about the format itself, because a new raid system, but it's got a brand new mechanic. Like beforehand, it was just tap, 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 tap. If you've got decent enough counters, you know you'll beat the raid boss. This has now got actual attack and defense boosts. It's got things to debuff the legendary you're battling. There's a lot more going on in this raid system than we've ever seen before in 6 years.
Totally. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And of course, using your purification gems, are you going to use them at a specific time? Will you coordinate so you're all dropping them at the same time? There's going to be a lot of interesting ways to see how this type of event does play out, because you know what? I think it could add a little bit of spice to the game.
It will definitely bring a bit of spice to Team Rocket takeover events.
Yes.
That's for sure, because you know this is going to be a big element of that. Quickly, Shadow, Machop and Beldum, great for raids, also have play in PvP, and Poliwag and Bellsprout, also usable in PvP, I believe, in the Shadow form. So they're decent Shadows to go for in the raids. I know that actually, if you're going for PvP, you don't want the raid floor. The other thing, as I said, bear in mind you can't, at the moment, at the current time that we're recording this, trade Shadow Pokemon. Whether that becomes a thing of the past, we'll have to see.
It's going to be an interesting summer, because apparently, from the article that we're going to be talking about next week, there's other things in the pipeline.
I'm actually just genuinely very excited to see how this Shadow thing goes, you know, even outside of the event.
I mean, how's it gonna work? Yeah, I'm definitely going to be raiding the Beldum. I love the shiny Shadow Beldum, so I'll definitely be raiding that in the one stars.
But boys, more good news.
What?
Mark's finally back from the toilet, so he's now going to host the game. Shiny, happy Pokemon, shiny,
happy Pokemon. Welcome to Shiny, Happy Pokemon. I'm going to pick a Pokemon. I'm also going to pick a part of its body, and I want the boys to tell me what colour that part of the body is in the shiny form of that Pokemon. It is a lot simpler than the rules sound.
If you know the Pokemon.
If you know the Pokemon, that is, yeah. So, but I like the way we've started going from Kanto and working our way further into the generation. So we're going to do that again tonight. We're going to start in Kanto. Milo, on the shiny form of Diglett, what colour is Diglett's nose?
It's funny because I got the shiny in Italy. It is blue.
Correct.
Also, we knight you a Sir Game this week.
Yes.
Sir Game. Ian, I'm going to pick Magnemite, Ian, and I want to know, what colour is the body of Magnemite?
It's gold, isn't it?
It is gold, Ian.
Always believe in your soul, Ian.
Oops. Over to you now.
Banter.
You like a fighting Pokemon, and we are going to pick Mankey. I want to know, what colour is the body of Mankey?
It's like a sicky green, isn't it? Like a really palish green.
I will accept that. It's a mint green. Sicky green.
It's a okay. Mint monkey.
Boys, you're all through. That means we go to Johto. Milo, what colour is Espeon's body shiny?
It is a very vibrant green.
Oh, it is. That is correct. So, Ian, what colour is shiny Celebi's body?
Ooh.
That's actually a tough one.
Oh, I hope it's not too tough. Sorry, Ian.
I've got no idea. Green?
That's the original, isn't it?
Oh, it might be. Oh, too late.
It's pink. Sorry, Ian. Oh. I thought intentionally try and make that too hard. Sorry, mate. It's pink. The original one is green.
You watch your original, Milo. Oh, what colour is shiny Hoppip? Cheers.
Is it blue?
So, Coops, over to you now. What shiny is the body of Pineco, Coops?
It's bright orange.
Gold, isn't it?
It's gold.
Wait, yeah.
It's
a gold colour.
It's not Geodude bright orange, low on Geodude. It's gold.
It's gold.
Wait,
it's
am I out? Wait, what?
Yes. For Milo wins.
Milo wins.
That's like bronze. Gold.
That is bright.
It's bronze.
It's like gold.
It's not bright orange.
It's not bright orange.
Are you lot for real right now?
That's definitely gold.
It's gold, yeah.
You know, you lot are trolling, man.
That is bright orange.
Yeah, that's orange.
Well, Walter Milo, well, you made it to Johto.
That's it. We're out.
That's the game.
Listeners, help me out on Twitter. Please help me out on Twitter. There is no, that is bright orange goldish.
You didn't say that, though. You said bright orange.
I did. Edit that in before. Right, so Milo, you're the winner, that's it.
I guess so. I guess so.
Look, I suppose you're the winner like Team Instinct on the Twitter, on the Pokemon Go Twitter.
Oh, God, yeah, I saw that.
Seriously.
That was pitiful.
It was kind of a waste of time, but it was off the back of the Valorous Hero event that has recently concluded in Pokemon Go. So
thank God, Lord. Yes.
Yes, the three hero events, thankfully, they're over. So let's have a quick 2 minutes about Valorous Hero. What did we all think? I mean, it was probably the best of the three events, I would say.
So I'll jump in. The only one that I actually completed was the Lapras one. I didn't do I didn't do the Instinct or the Valor one. Genuinely, worst events ever. And yeah, in literally a week and a bit's time, this season's going to be over, and I couldn't be happier.
See, probably the worst season, isn't it, since the season of Alola.
You know things are bad when the events that gave the season its namesake are the deadest thing you've ever seen in 7 years of the game. The Instinct Hero, or Instinctive Hero, was the only one that had some kind of new content in it. It brought the shiny Mantyke and the Larvesta being ridiculously rare, which is still around.
Ian, cover your ears.
I still don't have one, and I don't think I'm going to get one until it's probably in a live event somewhere.
It's still in the hardest tier in the 2, 5, and 10k eggs.
And it will be. It will be.
When it comes into the wild, that's what I'm going to save my Master Ball for. I'm going to save
one Larvesta. One Larvesta, yeah. But trying to compare these hero events is a bit like saying, oops, I cut myself on a piece of ceramic or a piece of glass. You still injured yourself. You know, it's still a very bad outcome. So all three of these events were absolutely pitiful. We've talked about them over the last couple of weeks. The most minute amount of concentration of thought would have made these a mid-tier event. Good it's gone. Didn't get the shiny Ponyta with the neckerchief. So
Well, I didn't get a shiny from any of the three, so...
No, me neither.
I think the ponytail was quite nice in that it was the most visible accessory, but I've still got a kind of soft spot for Lapras, even though mine was blue and not purple. But on the same side as you, Milo, I'm glad that the event is over, especially with this last one, because there was so much powering up and battling in it that... You were just wasting resources just to actually get through the research.
I'm sorry, it was stupid. Someone said it's battling a gym for 3 hyper potions. You must be mad. And it's power up a Pokemon X amount of times, and you get, unless you're powering up a level 1, you get less Stardust back than you spend. I don't know. I really don't know.
Did you get any shinies, Mark?
No, I didn't. I was so certain I was going to get the shiny Lapras. I can't believe how certain I felt it was going to be. And I built up this big day at Togetic.com day. And I thought the big reveal at the end, I was so convinced it was going to be shiny for me, boys. Even though there was no chance it was. And it wasn't. But I did get a 10-10-10, which I believe is probably...
Oh, it's a trophy, yeah.
It's a trophy. I don't want a bad mouth event for the sake of it. But... They started awful.
They got worse.
Slightly less awful. Well, yeah, probably worse. Don't get me started on research tasks. I did mention that on another podcast. I did say, they're battling the gym for 3 hyper potions or whatever they are. They're just pointless. And when you're having to spend more to do stuff to get through them, that's just not right. Yeah, I cannot wait for this season to just draw shut now. I didn't like season of Alola. That was awful. This was slightly more awful, in my opinion.
Well, let's hope next season is going to be good, because next season will encompass the GoFest season. So the next season should be something... pretty decent, pretty good.
Typically, the summer season is quite good. But it's funny that Mark mentioned Season of Alola, because that was exactly the same time last year. March, April, May, same time of year, dead. But I think we've had a phone in on WhatsApp, have we not? Send your WhatsApps
now. Yeah, we've had a WhatsApp message come through from a new caller, new messenger, and they just give us an update on their current status with the game.
Hi boys, Senior Menas here, a long time listener, first time caller. I just want to call in and say thank you for your podcast. It's been the light in the Pokemon Go darkness for a while now. I'm not so big fan of Niantic.
Thank you.
How they're dealing with the game and everything. So this morning I decided to give it a last chance. I popped a daily adventure instance and had 10 and 12k eggs in incubators since the day before. And I went on a walk with my dog. I just said to myself, if I encounter a Galarian bird or catch a shiny or... hatch a Lavesta or a female to land it, then I would keep playing. Otherwise, I would take a break for a while. And then, the walk went on. Sun was shining in my face. Nothing on the daily adventure instance. And then egg, hatch, 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 hatch. Nothing. So, from now on, you guys would have to be my, the canaries in the mine for me. You can, I will keep listening. Your content, like I said, it's a fun listen. So if Niantic pulls the head out of their asses and you talk about it, I might come back and play, but I will keep listening. Say sunrise.
Well, listen, the good news is we will be talking about Niantic every week, so you'll know when things...
You'll definitely be informed.
Yes, we'll be talking about the game consistently.
Indeed, but thank you for leaving us that message.
And hopefully you don't take too long a break. Hopefully you'll come back to the game at some point.
But I will just say, I feel like if you are getting frustrated and it is affecting your health and you as a person, and it has done for me this game, I think it's very healthy to take a break. Take a while out of the game, forget it, and sort of, get back into sort of other things. I definitely think it's healthy. So I agree with Ian. Hopefully it's not too long and you can come back again. Maybe just come back when this season's over, to be fair.
Because next season should be pretty good, hopefully. Yeah.
There's not long left.
Yeah. See you next week.
And definitely the best advice I can say is what Coops has said. And as we've seen, people who've maybe put the game down for a little bit come back and suddenly everything's shiny.
Mm, yes, that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's funny that. So you may come back to a plethora of good fortune.
And if that does happen and you do get a shiny...
You know what to do.
Shinies of the week.
All right, guys, I'll jump in here first. I've got one here from Christian Fulty at Chris and the Niners. The tweet says, at Incense Podcast, just casually did a shiny swap with the girlfriend. As the trade was happening, I said, what if this is my first Shundo? And then this happened. Schlando Illumise. First shiny perfect after... Right, listen. First shiny perfect after 5 years of playing. Hashtag shinies of the week. So, jeez. Christian, huge congratulations on your first ever... Well, it's a Schlando, isn't it? But it's a, this is a Schlando because you got it traded. And yeah, make sure you treat your missus to a lovely, lovely present. She deserves it after giving you that. But congrats.
So I'll jump up next. I've got a shyness of the week by email and got a little bit of a message to go along with it. So I will read out this message. It's from Steve Phillips, Steve in Norway. Hi, guys. Young Milo might knock these old communication methods, but I'm going to send this at 20:04 Norwegian time, just out of spite from his 2004 comment. I'd like to claim three shinies of the week, if I may. Technically, these were not caught whilst listening to the show, but they were caught on the way to and from the gym where I listened to episode 117 on the treadmill. So I hope they are guilty by association. Rather remarkably, they were all caught with the Go Plus. I made as much effort to catch these as Coops does with his show notes. Steve, you should see them. I've had comm days with fewer shinies, and these all came inside 30 minutes of walking. Poliwag on the way there, Starly and Hoppip on the sweaty way home. Must have had the luck of the devil to catch these. Then again, old Nick has taken many forms down the years, and according to Twitter, his current form is that of a software company in San Francisco. I'm not going to use the remote raid passes, though, but Shiny Kranidos might see me change my mind. Keep up the sterling good work, chaps. Three of the four of you are really good. Cheers, Steve in Norway.
I'm really glad that my dig has actually instigated somebody to use the email.
It has, because it's kind of been like a ghost town on the email for the last few weeks.
You need to insult the email a bit more. Having talked about how bad the Valorous Hero and all the hero events were, I'm going to pick Lewis Ben at Incensed Podcast, hashtag Shinies of the Week. I realised that this isn't a shiny, but I thought it was worth sharing at least. I got a Hundo Ponyta from the Team Valorous Hero research. Almost makes me want to switch to Team Valor. I recommend you do, personally. But yeah, it's the Hundo costume Ponyta.
Well, we do know that Team Valor is the best team. As 50% of the podcast are Team Valor.
I want to know why after Ponyta Spotlight Hour, this is not level 50, Lewis. But massive congrats on a very, very rare hundo.
That is, to be fair, I'm laughing, but it's just because it's funny, isn't it? It's just funny. It's just funny. The Valorous Hero, funny.
Valorous Hero event, yes.
This section isn't called Hundos of the Week. It's called Shinies of the Week.
We encourage
you. And Penpal Simon said, hashtag Shinies of the Week, finished this week's episode of Incense Podcast, and just selected some random older episodes to revisit during my walk. Caught this. It was unevolved, but I evolved it. Absolutely insane, given the Pac-Man frog featuring on the episode. Simon has evolved it to shiny Seismitoad.
Oh, nice.
Shiny Time Pole.
Nice.
Love your work, Simon.
Shiny Pac-Man
Lovely shiny
frog.
Of the week.
He should rename it.
Well, he has. He's name changed it. And dated it for evidence, and he's put it there. Pac-Man.
Oh, yes, he did.
I rate that so much.
So as I did say at the start of the show, if you do manage to get anything good whilst listening back to this episode, or as Pen Pal Simon said, any of our episodes, if you're on episode 18 or whether you're on 119, which is this one, make sure you tag us at Incense Podcast and hashtag Shinies of the Week. And you get read out there. And like I said earlier, my favourite segment, absolutely love it. It's always been my personal fave. Now, before we go, we've definitely mentioned this more than once, but please do check out GoCast, a Pokemon Go podcast on all platforms. The same as you find us, you'll find them as well. And if you see their latest episode, please do give it a listen, as well as all of their other ones as well. Like I said, boys, thank you so much for having the Incense Podcast come on. We thoroughly enjoyed our time, and I'm sure there'll be more collaborations with both of us in the future. And on that note, it is the end of the show. And I do just want to say a massive thank you to all of our listeners, and of course, to all of our followers on all of our platforms, and more importantly, to all of our amazing Patreon members. If you are a bronze tier or a silver tier, thank you guys so much for your pledges each month. They really, really, really do help us out making this podcast what it is. There's so much production that goes behind the scenes. And a huge thank you, a special thank you to our gold tier for everything that you do every month for us. It's greatly appreciated. We've got Hermes Ninja, then JB, Clifford Mert, Darby Russ, Kerry and Zachary, Connor Lee, MLFalk2022, Apex_171, Professor58, KTechnigal, and of course, Mufti. Guys, thank you so much from me and the boys. Like I said, every week, we cannot thank you enough. Greatly appreciated for all that you do. And yes, I'm going to say, if you do listen to us on Spotify, make sure you get anyone's account that you can. Grab a random stranger off the street, go onto their Spotify, and give us a 5-star rating. We need to beat GoCast, and we're like 200 reviews off. And of course, speaking of reviews, please do leave us a review on Google, on Apple Podcasts. It's greatly appreciated, whether it's a good one or a bad one. Follow, subscribe, or press that plus button on any podcast platform you listen to us on. That means you get to see when the next episode does drop.
But boys, before we go, good news.
What?
Michael Stranka's formerly difficult to find Pokemon, Skorupi, will be this week's Spotlight Hour with 2x XP for evolving Pokemon.
Bloody good shiny.
So if you want to spend the whole hour just evolving Pokemon, yeah, not actually catch any Skorupi.
Evolve that Pidgey you caught with the Master Ball. Yeah,
I know that the shiny rates aren't boosted for Spotlight Hours, but that red Skorupi is gorgeous.
Also, Koops, Great League, Shadow.
Yes, yep, Drapion. But anyway, ladies and gents, boys and girls, hope you had an amazing Fennekin Com Day. And on that Scorpion bombshell, we'll be back next week.